Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
that amazing woman. What's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Soul Eye Records Radio. And man, oh man, it is Friday and we are chopping it up here. And I just want to have a good time with you today. Much love to all the listeners around the world. We pray everybody's good and everything is good for you guys. Thanks for hanging out. We just today, every Friday on Soul Eye Records Radio, we really just kind of share our thoughts and stuff about what happened back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Solar came into existence. And what a beautiful blessing for me, because I happen to be a part of that sound. And that's a sound that we call the sound of Los Angeles Records. That's what Solar stands for, right? And so Solar Records is a company that Dick Griffey built. And what an amazing company it was. We had so much fun because we enjoy working together. We enjoyed each other. We had fun. We were making hits. So not only were we just, you know, working hard all the time, but it was actually creating positive results for the company and the artists, and obviously for the musicians, because they, you know, we got, you know, a lot of notice from other companies, other artists, you know, our peers, and people are like, oh, okay, okay. And so it was a very respectful and beautiful opportunity that happened. And so still to this day, most of us are still friends and hang out and love each other. And we get together. We're going to get together this summer again. And we try to get together at least once a year now. Before, it was started out through every 3 years, then every 2 years, now every year. As we're getting older, you know, we can't afford to just, you know, waste time. Yeah, that's just the way nature planned it. So we got to do what we got to do. But we're just very blessed and very fortunate to have had still be here and still be able to do what we love to do here. So today I'm going to play only Solar artists, Solar music and stuff. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. We just heard Lakeside, Something About That Woman, and just something about that track. That makes me crazy. I love Lakeside, one of my favorite Solar groups. And well, guys, we're going to have a good time. Thank you for tuning in. Much love. Greg is on the road. I mean, he is down under and having a good time. And so much love to Greg and Phil. You guys have a wonderful journey and enjoy yourselves. And missing you guys, and but very happy for you. Greg says it's extremely hot out there. And so, you know, hey, enjoy the heat, buddy, because when you get back, it's going to be cold. Yeah, the UK, the weather is it's kind of the same happening here in the United States too, because one day is hot, next day is cold hot. We're going back and forth. When we have a storm, a big storm coming in tonight, and they're talking about hail, and it is so bad, they called me and said, hey, we're bringing your tractor. I said, oh, you finished fixing it? Yeah, we're bringing it to you because there's going to be a really big storm tonight, and so we want to get this to you. I said, what kind of storm? They said, a hail storm. I go, oh, hell. Oh, so I'm thinking, keep it there. Y'all got this big old garage and stuff. But the problem is that they have too many things to put in those garages because they want to put all their, you know, new stuff in and everything. And my tractor, the reason it was there is because my glass door exploded. And so I had to get a new glass door. And so they brought it home. They didn't even talk about payment or anything. They just wanted to get it over here, get it off of their property. They'll call me on Monday. Hey, are you owe us? I know they will. So I'll be waiting for the call. But anyway, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my tractor because, you know, my horses are taking up all the space in the barn. And they're going to need to be able to get away from that hail when it comes. But anyway, guys, so look here. This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and we want to get funky with you today and just let it do what it do here on Solar Records Radio. I'm going to give you some Midnight Star because they do not want anyone to rock the boat.
I know just what to do to keep you in my heart.
Don't rock that boat.
I mean, that's just like some smooth stuff right there, right? My. And one of the reasons why I wanted to play that song by The Whispers is my guest that I had on Wednesday by the name of Raymond Lee Pounds, an amazing drummer that played with Stevie Wonder as well, played on Stevie's albums, and also he played with James Brown on his album. And I'm like, dude, man, I need to get you on here. And so we did get him on, but he played drums on that song, Let's Go All the Way, as well. And so he was like a generation before me, because before we started giving the Whispers up-tempo jams, they were already had a great career going on, and things were going wonderful for them, and they were doing their thing, right? And but you know, they didn't really have a lot of success in like up-tempo jams, right? Their up-tempo jams were they were just balladeers. They were just like amazing ballads and mid-tempo tracks like the one you just heard, right? And so these guys were just laying it down. And so much love, Raymond. God bless you, man, and thank you for your contribution to the Solar family. He also worked with Kerry Lucas as well, and he was very, very good friends with Dick Griffey. I mean, they did a lot of stuff together. Everything he was doing, Dick was involved, because Dick was managing Stevie Wonder. Good gracious. And so, and he was the drummer. And man, oh man, much love. Like I said, Raymond, God bless you, man. And so, that, you know, for me, that was such an amazing honor, because, you know, he's like a big brother or uncle or something. He's, you know, that generation before me. So getting the chance to just chop it up with him and talk to him was just a wonderful blessing and opportunity for me. And because we only had time, and we went like almost an hour and a half, but we talked about how he became the drummer that he became, and when he hooked up with Stevie Wonder and how all that stuff worked out, but we didn't get to the James Brown stuff. So he said, let's do a part two. And so I said, amen. So he'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll talk about, you know, all the stuff with James Brown that he did. So I look forward to that as well. Anyway, guys, it is the weekend, right? You guys ready for the weekend? Y'all ready to get busy and have a good time? Well, you know, that's what we got to do. Let's try to enjoy it and be blessed, all right? So listen, I am going to, I see Kevin Spencer. He's chiming in. Much love, Kev from Dynasty. Appreciate you, my brother. I want to play a Dynasty song. How about that? So here we go. As a matter of fact, I wrote this song. Let's do it. Does that ring a bell on Solar Records? I'm That is one of those very touching songs. And, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, from what I understand in a conversation, that Lorena, the lead singer of the group, couldn't, she was running late or she couldn't make it to the studio that night or something. So they had Joyce Irby try to sing it, and boy, it was magic. And the rest is history. I mean, you know, and so that's a beautiful thing. I, you know, just being in the right place at the right time, you just never know, right? You never know. And so just happy for Joyce, because that song was such a big hit, and she pretty much can go anywhere and, you know, say, hey, this is me. This is, you know, I sang that, and, you know, with my group Climax, and hey, y'all, you got some work for us? Absolutely. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm very happy for, you know, that that's just that little bit of blessing for Joyce Irby there. Anyway, guys, so it is just a beautiful day here, and we're getting ready for a storm, but it's beautiful outside. It's so crazy, right? Like how things could be just wonderful, and then all of a sudden, it just turns into a mess. And so that's how it was when I lived in California. And it could be beautiful, and we're just having a wonderful time. Next thing you know, the earth is shaking. Earthquake, right? And so it was just one of those things. And so it just depends on what. Over here, the difference is, you know, we didn't get much rain in California. So now I'm here in Texas, lots of rain and tornadoes and just all kind of stuff. And so it's a whole nother, you know, thing. At least you get warnings, right? Like what they're telling you is coming. And so you can kind of prepare for it. But still, you know, a lot of us don't want to leave, right? So we just kind of like deal with it. You know, we just prepare for it, you know, and, you know, try to protect your windows or whatever you do. But at the same time, you know, you're still living in it. And when it comes, it's like, whoa, you can hear this. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a ship out in the ocean, because the rain is just going sideways. It's like, whoa. So anyway, all right, guys, I want to play you a song by a group that never was on Solar, but they wrote songs for all of our Solar artists. And they were just great ladies. We had a wonderful time working with Crystal, is who I'm talking about. And so and the record company that they did end up going to, I mean, we wrote and produced their music and stuff. So this is still the Solar Sound on CBS Records. That's where Crystal went. And so they are our sisters. We love them desperately, and we always want to lift them up and just, you know, and just let them know how much we love them. That's them in the background there, right there. It's doing a Motown song right there. Oh, man. And so they were just an amazing group. And so much love to my sisters. I love you guys, and wish you continued success. And so I want to play one of their songs just to show the love and how much we appreciate them. But they were making some noise. So let's check them out here on Solar Records Radio. This is not that one, but this one. Oh, man. Come on. right? There's just so much fun in that music. I love the, you know, what Leon Silvers would do with the music back in the day. And, you know, Leon is special. He has a gift, an amazing gift. The guy gave him, and no one can take that away from him. And when you go around him, even to this day, I mean, he lives in the studio. He's like a studio rat. We can't get him out. I mean, I shouldn't say we can't get him out of there, because I don't try to get him out of there. But it's just, that's where he lives, and he's all about the music and stuff. So, but okay, so I'm gonna answer your question and stuff from one of the listeners. So, what happened at around this time? When I was transitioning, not just me, but the sound, when Los and the sound, you know, okay, the question is, what happened to, how did it end? Dick Griffey had decided that he was going to move on to doing distribution, as opposed to, you know, just a record company per se. And so he was making changes. Everybody was making changes. Leon Silvers was producing for other record companies. We were producing for other record companies. We were getting calls from around the world to work with different artists. They wanted that sound that was really hot for about 5 years straight, right? And so you're like, you know, we want a piece of that. And so all of us, the writers and the musicians and stuff, were really active in doing everything. So what happens is, I think that anytime you have, you know, an amazing unit, just think about basketball, for instance. You have these five amazing the starters, but also you have a great bench when you have a championship team. You have to have a great bench as well. And so just imagine, you got this amazing team out of nowhere, and they just, like Sacramento, I mean, not Sacramento, but not that I'm trying to put down Sacramento, but I was thinking about you know, with I can't even think of the name of the team. Okay, but let's just go back to the Lakers then. So the Golden State Warriors, that's who I was thinking about. There you go, Golden State Warriors. So they, you know how just all of a sudden, I mean, they were nothing in the 80s. There was nothing. It just, and then all of a sudden, bam, they just got this thing. And it's amazing, and everyone's watching them and going, whoa. You know, Steph Curry, his name is really Wardell. Steph's name is Wardell. His dad's name is Wardell as well. And so, but anyway, Steph Curry is just, you know, the leader of the pack, and he got all these amazing people on this team. And so, you know, it's like they just like become this amazing group of guys, and people are like paying attention to them. And some people want a piece of that. They want to be a part of that. And so what happens is that when who you can pull from that to get on your team, you will to try to elevate your team. And so it was the same thing musically. And now as this group, you know, it looks like they're about to come to an end. You know, they had a wonderful run many years in a row. And now it looks like, you know, it's actually getting to the point where it's going to fall apart. Those individuals will be pulled. People are going to, you know, different franchises is going to pull them. And that's what was happening with us. We were being pulled into different directions. They wanted a part of that sound. Whatever part they could get, they wanted a part of it. And so we were being pulled. And so around this time when, you know, this music came out that you hear in the background, you know, on by the whispers here, it was just, it was time. It was time for us to go and move on. And so we did. And so Dana Myers, William Zimmerman, Joey Gallo, and myself, Wardell Potts Jr., and Pamela Phillips Olan, we all went to A&M Records. And we were signed with them as writers. And that was Almo Irving, was the publishing company by Herb and Al. That was, they owned that. Hollywood. And so that's where we ended, and many of the other guys went to different places. William Shelby, I remember he went to some publishing company on Sunset Boulevard as well. So every people just scattering around and doing different things, and Leon was producing everybody. So it was, we had all different things, and it came to an end. And sadly, you know, I think we could have continued to do music together, but it was hard to get everybody to come together and get in, you know, can we get together? Can we get, you know, I'm busy. Can't go there. Everybody was just too busy. I remember saying, we got to do this, but we never could really organize it. And then we tried a few times, but it just wasn't the same. You know, it just never was the same. And that's the way it is, right? Once you get past that point where, you know, like the Lakers were amazing in the 80s, right? It's like, that was just a heck of a run. And then they died. That group of them died. And then the way that it came back was a whole new group, Shaq and Kobe, right? But with Magic and Worthy and James Worthy and all them, it was just, whoa. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that was, whoa, my goodness, they were on fire. And but when it came to an end for them, it was somebody else's turn. So that's how it goes. That's the nature of the beast. And, you know, you would get about 5 or 6 to 8 years of maximum of a run, and then it's the next generation's turn. It's somebody else's turn, and it's always been like that. You know, because you guys, the listeners, are ones that are now looking for something, and when you hear something, your attention goes to that, and then that becomes the new hot thing, right? And so we're like trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do now? Now they've turned their attention to someplace else. So that's kind of what happened to, you know, what happened to the end of Solar. Everybody went there. Babyface in L.A. went their own way. You know, they did some stuff for Dick before Dick closed it down. And then Babyface in L.A. started LaFace Records. They moved on, you know. And so everybody was going and doing their thing. And so, but anyway, thanks for that. That was a really good question. I really appreciate that. If you have any questions, just send me a message or a messenger, or you can put it in the group page and stuff. Really appreciate you very much. And God bless you guys, and thanks so much for everything that you do. And, you know, we appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio very, very much. All right, so y'all ready to get back to the music here? I know you are. All right. So here we go. Let's do that right now. I'm going to play you something. This is a very different song. And it's Shalimar. And it's for you. It's Guys, I just gotta tell you, my feelings are a little hurt, man. This Mr. Carlos Green from The Deal, Carlos is teasing me about my short shorts. Now, we all wore the short shorts in the 70s and 80s, man, and he was like, man, what is going on? And some of my friends, Ron Smith, he's teasing me too. I mean, what's going on? Dana Myers, they talk about that there was no, what do you call it, dress. Dana Myers said, yeah, we didn't have a dress code at Devonshire Studios. And so, like, but we all wore those shorts. Y'all remember those shorts that Michael Jordan, because he's the one that came out with the long shorts, but Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, all those guys wore those things with short. And so we all were wearing them. So come on, Carlos, you're killing me, buddy. Mr. Green. So this is Carlos Green, lead singer of The Deal, man. My love to you, man, and thanks for sending the love, brother. I know you don't mean any harm, right? All right. Well, anyway, with that being said, I'm going to play one of his songs here on Soul Out Records Radio. God bless you guys, and thanks so much for hanging out with us here today on Soul Out Records Radio. Come on, Carlos, this is for you.
The sun in your eyes, the better you will be. Here comes the pain again. Why did you leave?
All right. Well, you guys, I just want to thank you so much for an amazing time. We had a great time tomorrow. Solar wants to dance, so make sure you tune in, hang out with us, and thank you for blessing us. Hey, I'm going to leave you with an amazing interview from Charmaine Silvers of the Silvers. We had a great conversation, so just enjoy it, guys, and have a blessed weekend and enjoy yourself, okay? God bless you. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Song so much. I've always loved that song as a young man, and I am so blessed because right now we have one of the singers from the group The Silvers. What's up, Charmaine Silvers?
Hello, hello.
I sound so excited, don't I? You know, I am. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You're such a beautiful spirit. And
thank you,
you know, God made you that way, and we get to enjoy that part of you. And so thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us today. We've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks now, so here you are, finally. Mm-hmm. Got you here. Oh my God, what are your thoughts about that song when you hear that high school dance song? What are your thoughts?
It's
when you...
one of my favorites. It is.
It's,
I love, you know, my favorite line in that song is, when we turn the lights down. I love that.
Why do you think you love that part so much?
I don't know. I think it's the down.
and
it has
you,
so much feeling.
Right. Yeah. And so so listen, there's so much to talk about, and I know you're going to tell us the story inside the story. There's some amazing stories that happened in your life with your family. Man, with your family, that is so cool. And but just, you know, I mean, just the reiteration of, you know, being on this, you guys performed this song how many times? I mean, the energy on that song, and I mean, I can't imagine. It just seems like the song, like we got to do this right now. And so, when you recorded in the studio, was it just as much fun for you guys, or was it like, okay, this is the serious part? Or was it on the stage, like, we really got to be serious here? I mean, because Leon has always been intense to me, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's, how was that for you guys, working in the studio versus on stage?
It was always fun.
Really?
Working in the studio, yeah, because we were young, so we played a lot. We had to make ourselves knuckle down and be serious when it was time to be serious. And, so we always have fun in the studio. It was never – now, fun fact, well, it wasn't much fun for me, but I always had a cold whenever I did.
That's weird.
Every single album, if you really listen closely – it sounds like I'm singing, like, you know, like
nasal. But you know, even if I wanted to really listen closely, you know, I would not be able to hear that, because you guys sound, your harmonies are like, they're like angels. You guys sound like little angels, and that was actually the name of your group, right, when you started.
When we were little, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Freddie Perren showed us something that was amazing. We were singing, I think it was, I don't remember which song it was, but we were singing something, and Freddie Perren, he recorded it, and he asked us to come in to the booth. And so we did. We thought we did something wrong. And he started playing the song, and he said, "Now look at the meters," because he purposely mic'd us separately so he could do this test. And he said, and we were like, yeah. I mean, it didn't mean anything to us. And he said, "Look at your meter." He said, "I didn't adjust anything. Your volume, you guys corrected on your own, and the meters looked identical for every single one of us." And I thought, he was a Christian, and he told us that means you were definitely anointed. That's the God voice. And I thought that was really special. I did. I thought it was special.
That's wow. That's wow. So
yeah.
I mean, man, thank you for sharing
that.
so how old were you guys? Well, I shouldn't say you guys, because it's all different ages. How old were you when you guys first went into the studio and started recording?
I was, let's see, was I 14 or 15? No, I had to have been 13. No, I was 14, because it happened pretty fast. We went into the studio and we started recording. First we went to MGM. They liked us. They hooked us up with a manager the next week. He got us in Vegas, which was just a few months later. And we were in the studio in between all of that, and it happened pretty darn fast. Very fast. It was so fast that I think in the beginning it scared some of the members of the family. It definitely scared my mom.
Mm-hmm. She's like, "Whoa,
yeah.
Wait a minute, this is my baby."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, but all your life, right? You guys knew something was happening, because you, before you even got, you know, presented to these companies, you guys were singing already. You guys were doing this thing. So
I
mean, I guess you're so young, you're like thinking, okay, we're just having fun at the house.
basically what happened is we were living in the Nickerson Gardens projects, and they were having budget cuts in the school district in our area, and they canceled the security guards. I'll never forget our security guard name, Mr. Tech. He was the main one. I loved Mr. Tech. He was so on it. The school was always in order. No, but there were no fighting. And when they cut the budget and cut the security guards, kids started bringing drugs. They started bringing guns. It was getting pretty rough. And since we were all fighters, because we were a big family, you know, you mess with one, you mess with all.
Right.
We decided, you know what, we better, because we knew we could sing. We said, we better find a company, start singing so we can get out of the projects, because it was getting rough. We knew it was going to get rough. So that's what we did. Leon has started writing songs. Yeah, that's what we did.
Okay. Wow.
It was like an avalanche from the time we made the decision collectively. Then it was like the, my analogy is the bullet train. You jump on the bullet train and it's going.
We have been out of here. Got to go. But listen, this even goes back even further. Because your parents started out. Your mom went to college where your mom and dad met, and your mom was in college for music, right?
Yes, she was. She was an opera singer. Very good opera singer. I can't even describe to you how good she is. This is how good she was. She sang at Leon's first wife, who naturally they were divorced. She was getting remarried. And so she was singing at the wedding, and she was singing Ave Maria. Leon walked in right when Mommy was singing, and he came to me. He said, "That's a great recording." I said, "That's not a recording. That's your mom." He looked up at the front, and it looked like his mouth was going to drop.
Because the intonation was on. That's what it probably was. Oh, he's like, wow, that is
perfect.
Great. Perfect pitch. Wow.
Perfect.
Man,
yeah.
That's so good. And your dad was going to school to be a doctor, but he was pushing the music thing. How did that happen? Did mom, you know, get him to do? How did he just jump into the music thing?
Because he was born with the ear. He didn't have the fantastic voice like my mom, but what a ear he had. And he sat us down and started teaching us harmony. Back then, the songs on the radio were like Frank Sinatra songs and songs like Blue Moon. There are a bunch of songs, but if you listen to those, the harmony is very intricate. And we started singing with him when we were like ages 3, 4, 5, and 6. He heard us. We used to turn our mattresses over, and if you hit the box spring, the old wooden box springs, it sounded like drums. So we used to drum on the box springs, and we used to sing, I'll never forget, one of my favorite songs when we were little kids was Laura Scudder's at a potato chip commercial with harmony. And it was like, Laura Scudder's big brand potato chips, best potato chips in the world.
Wow.
And we did like four-part harmony as little kids, and our dad heard us. And that's when he started working on it. And for us, it wasn't any big deal because we were doing it in the bedroom all the time. But for him, it must have been a shock because we were toddlers. And he was mesmerized. I think it started the rocky bumpiness in their marriage because he seemed to get more interested in us singing than his own career, you know?
Oh, boy.
He
realized that, hey, something special happening with these kids.
He did.
Yeah.
He did,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, and so as far when you said he had that air, right, that special gift, I understand that James had that special gift as well.
With oh,
the
yeah.
Hearing harmony.
Because
Leon is saying, like, this little kid, how does he remember my part? But
he did. He really did.
Well, can you tell us any stories about James and his air?
Whenever we would, for instance, when Leon would write songs, he would usually come and we'd all sit down and he played the bass and he'd have his melody worked out, even sometimes before he had lyrics. And we would all sit down and we would start singing parts. And sometimes we would just come up with the parts on our own. It was like we were inspired. And there were, because Ricky would sit down too. And it's not that common to come up with a fifth or a sixth part when you're doing harmony. And whenever there was that addition that would just make you go, ooh, that was Jonathan. Jonathan would come up with a part. We'd all do. I usually hit the high notes. Alan was kind of in the middle, and then everyone else would fill in. And Jonathan would just throw in a part that just nobody else heard but him. And once he would come up with it, it was so awesome. It was really awesome. Alan occasionally would do that too. We were practicing a take six song. He Never Sleeps. And I don't know if you know that song. It's harder than some of the stuff we ever did.
Wow.
And while we were practicing, Olan came up with this part that even the Take Six guys didn't have. And that,
oh, that is so cool. What drives me crazy about you guys is harmonies. Yeah, I've never heard anyone do harmonies like you guys do. I didn't just hear it. I didn't just hear it like as a whole, like everybody's doing, or like you hear it on a record, you hear all the harmonies. I heard it individually broken down and built up.
Mm.
That was a real eye-opener for me, and it really shocked me. It showed me that I know nothing about music like I think I do. When I saw you guys in the studio and you were singing the harmonies, and guys, I'm telling you, I am not making this up. And to the listeners, listen, this is real. These guys would start off in one place in this or with their notes. Like your part is like maybe down here in the unison part, and all of a sudden you end up way up in, I mean, how do you move from, you know, from doing a, from, I shouldn't say unison, but I mean like a, you may be you got the baritone parts and you got the, you know, the different harmony parts and stuff. But if you start down there and you end up in a soprano or first soprano or second soprano, how is that?
Yeah.
How does that not interfere with the other kids that are singing? Other singers that are singing. How does that not interfere and cause you guys to crash and burn? I don't understand
that. Because that's the ear. That's the ear. You have to have an ear for it. My daughter, my middle daughter, Tina, she has that ear, and she used to try to sing some of the songs that she heard us singing, especially Because by the Beatles. We used to sing that one, and she tried to get some of her friends who were in the music class to sing the parts. And the minute a second person would start singing, their voice would travel to the other person's part. They couldn't stay on their own part.
Right, right.
And she said she didn't know that not everybody could sing harmony. And we didn't know it either because we had been doing it since we were little kids. But then as we got older, we realized you have to have the ear. That's where the ear comes in, because you have to be able to hear your part, hear everybody else's part. And then in our case, sometimes we had a fifth and a sixth part, which is that's when you start getting into music theory. because most people, they only sing four-part harmony, three or four at the most. And, yeah, it was actually a conundrum for us, too, because being born with it, you don't realize that it's a gift, wow. You know, unless someone outside points it out to you.
Yeah, like me. I'm telling you, that was ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, it was like I was, when you say, I say seen, because I was there watching them, and they were just going from, you know, one place to another, and they're crossing each other and going from soprano down to alto. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Why didn't you, like, crash, you know, have an accident somewhere? Why didn't somebody say, hold on, you got to hold on to your notes. Stay on your own notes. I don't understand why that did not happen. It just drives me crazy. And it was, like, it was so smooth and so beautiful. And when you realized you had that gift, that you were born with that ear, did it make you feel like... Or was it just like, well, the whole family has a gift, so it is normal? I mean, did it make you feel different?
It did. I appreciated it. Now, you know Patrice Rushen? She's been on the road with us for a while, and she pointed out to me something that I never even noticed. She said, you know, you have perfect pitch. And I didn't know. And I was like, I guess so, yeah. I really didn't know what she was talking about. And she pointed it out. She said, you guys always start the song yesterday before the band starts playing, and they don't give me a note because I was the one that started out with yesterday.
Oh,
and that was a cappella. And then the band, but she said, since you always pick the perfect key, the band can just come right in. Because they came in halfway through the song. And I thought about that later, and I was like, oh, I never noticed that.
Can I get a little extra money for that?
It takes a pro to point it out.
yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so good. So why don't you just, I mean, I know I just like hit you with so much stuff. And then I have questions from overseas too that are coming in. And so I want you to just tell us what you want to tell us about your time with your family growing up in this amazing group.
Well, the thing that I'm the most proud of is our first album with Capitol Records, the Boogie Fever album. The costumes, I made them, and it took me 48 hours, and I had a $100 budget.
That's it.
And I made everything from top to bottom because we went through some financial struggles. My mom was having a disagreement with our manager at the time. We were still kind of young, so we didn't understand it.
Right.
So that meant everything was frozen, even our money. So what I did is I got shoes that the guys could dance in. I glittered them. I glittered my shoes, Alain's shoes, and Angie Pat, actually everybody, because it was all nine of us at the time. And I made the clothes for everybody. I didn't have time to finish because they sprung it on us. They said Capitol Records wants to do this shoot on this day. And that was actually 2 days from the time. No, it was 3 days from, and we had nothing. I mean, seriously, nothing. And so I thought, okay, fine, because I was a seamstress, and a lot of people didn't know that. I've been sewing since I was in seventh grade. You know, they have homemaker classes and that kind of thing in school, so I chose sewing. So I was a seamstress. And so that's what I did. I went downtown. I got bolts of fabric. I matched everything up. I got the trim. And I just went to work. And they actually told me at Capitol they thought that was the best photo shoot that they had seen out of all of the Silver's pictures. And I kind of agreed. I felt so proud of myself. I was like, I did that. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
It came out really, really good. Yeah.